Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
And joining us today, it's Christmas. Yeah. As this releases, Christmas Day, our lovely wives, my wife Sheila.
Hello.
And my wife Kathleen.
Hello.
So we are doing something a little bit different today. We don't have a firm topic today, but you know, if your Christmas Day looks a lot like our Christmas Day, you probably have all kinds of little tasks you're involved with, whether it's cleaning up wrapping paper and boxes from the kids, putting together toys, setting up a new entertainment system, making food.
Questioning why you didn't buy the extra box of batteries.
Yeah. You've got stuff to do today, so we thought we'd give you a little cozy, just chilling and having some fun to keep your ear occupied for the day. So we've got a little game we're going to play. We've got a few different bottles of mead we're going to sample, and I'm just going to see how this goes. This might run longer than usual. It might run shorter than usual. I kind of doubt it.
We generally don't run short.
No, no.
Not a thing we
There's
do
usually plenty of... you know, time to get stuff going here. So
I don't care.
But my wife literally says, open the bottle.
I thought this chocolate strawberry was the one we were using.
Well, it is, okay, I thought that was chocolate strawberry.
Yeah, I don't know where you put the...
I got it right here.
Okay. So my wife said she wanted chocolate strawberry because she hasn't had an opportunity somehow to taste my chocolate strawberry. Taste the chocolate strawberry in me. So we're going to fix that today.
We were going to do it on one thing, but it fell on... when we were with friends, and it fell on the ground and broke.
Yeah, that was very sad. But before we get too started in this, we need to thank our listeners here.
Yes.
You've been with us. I've been here almost a year now. We're coming up on my first year pretty darn soon here. And you guys have consistently increased the numbers on we see our metrics, and appreciate each and every one. I love it when I get a chance to talk to people out in the street and say, hey, by the way, thank you. And it's awesome, man. It makes my day. And we appreciate each and every one. I also need to thank Box and Barleycorn.
Absolutely.
Box and Barleycorn, they've been supporting us all the way through this year, and they've pledged to help us through the next year, too. So they've been awesome. Jake and his buddies there are absolutely...
this has a crack in it.
Glass with a crack, that's not good. Jake and his friends have been supporting us, and they have everything you need for all your... fermenting need. If you're looking for your beer, your wine, your mead, cheese, kombucha, yogurt, sake, whatever you want to make, if it's fermentable, they probably have the equipment you need. Plus, they have all the knowledge, and they're very passionate about that, and they give us a great discount with the MHP10 discount code they give us. If you order online, use that code, get yourself 10% off, and let them know that you are listening to us, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking of talking to our listeners, I've been managing the email inbox, so to speak, for our little drawing here.
Yeah,
we'll be announcing that shortly. I know we need to contact and get some addresses for the winners here. But it's been really fun just to get to communicate with you guys and talk about different stuff that you guys have been up to. You know, I mentioned a couple weeks back, Jay from the UK had talked about some hoppy little session meads he was making.
Yeah, he was making a hoppy session mead, and that sounded unique. I want to hear about it, but if you're going to send us something like that, well, A, don't send it, but B, that's more Jeff's wheelhouse than mine, so thank you very much.
We'll talk in a little bit, but I heard from another guy that had some fun experiences with, he was doing a piment, and got a little too grapey with it, and I think his solution ended up being good. It's the way I would have approached it. So we'll talk about that, you know, next time on a proper episode.
I'm looking forward to that conversation.
So we are starting with our first mead, which is one of Chris's chocolate strawberries.
Yes, my chocolate strawberry. It's finished at just under 14%. And it's been aging for about 9 months, give or take. So
getting light strawberry on the nose, maybe a little chocolate.
I don't smell chocolate quite yet. Oh, there it is. Okay. It's very much in the back. But it was made with actual strawberries, which I had to fortify with more strawberry, freeze-dried strawberries, because I lost all strawberry flavor in there at one point. So I put freeze-dried strawberries, like 800 grams in secondary to get that strawberry flavor. But the chocolate part was actually cocoa nibs.
Yes.
So I made, it was 4 ounces of cocoa nibs. I let sit for 6 hours.
Nice.
Well, Kat, what do you think? This is one you haven't had yet. chocolate flavor for me is up front.
Chocolate is towards the front. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little bit of the sweet of the, a little bit of the sweet strawberry, almost jammy.
Yeah, it's got a little, it's sweet, kind of honey forward strawberry.
It's like a jam than eating a strawberry.
But actually, it's aged nicely.
It mm-hmm. is aged nicely.
That's very smooth.
Yeah. I mean, I might have, if I would have at the time been more oak friendly, I probably would have put a little oak in there to mm-hmm. round it off. But other than that,
a little oak wouldn't hurt it. But I mean, it's, you've got plenty of other things going on.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
it's not at all unpleasant. It's very nice.
The cocoa nibs are giving you a little bit of tannin in there. I mean, you could have gone a little further with that, but they're already pretty strong, so I don't think you really needed to.
Yeah, I mean, if I thought it needed at the time, I would have put another round of fresh cocoa nibs in, mm-hmm. but it tasted pretty good at the time.
I don't think everything in the world needs oak in it.
I tend to agree with Sheila on that one, because I don't use a lot of oak, but Jeff may disagree with me on that.
I mean, not everything needs an oak flavor, but I think a little oak can be nice for everybody.
We have a really bad joke about wood here, but I'm not going to.
Please don't.
But happy holidays.
Not that
happy
time holidays. Of show.
So anyway, for the today's little activity, we are playing a card game. It's called Principal Dilemma. And the way this works, we're all going around the table. Each of us has a little stack of five cards, deceit cards, that change the way the hero of the round gets to play their challenge out. And each person around the table is going to get a turn as the hero. They get a moral dilemma read to them by another player, and they have to choose an answer, A or B. They get a few minutes to think about it, and then we go clockwise around the table, and each of us plays one of these deceit cards, trying to see if we can get them to change their mind. You get a point for getting the hero to change their mind. And yeah, then once everybody's taken a turn, we move clockwise around the table and there is a new hero.
Does the reader of the card get to play a deceit card as well?
Yes, you are a trickster as well. And so Kat is up first. And that means my lovely wife here is going to be reading her moral conundrum.
All right, this one is called Once Upon a Kiss. On an evening when you're out, you see the mother of one of your good friends with someone you know is not your friend's father. You happen to witness what appears to be a very passionate kiss between them. You were just over at your friend's house for dinner the previous week with both of his parents, so you are suspicious your friend's mother may be having an affair with this other man. Do you, A, talk to your friend about what you saw, or B, mind your own business and keep what you saw to yourself?
Oh, I need more parameters. How good of friends are we? Do I even like his mother?
You had dinner with his parents.
Does this mean I like his mom? Means I like him or her or whatever.
Heck, when I had dinner with my wife's parents, I was terrified of her father.
He was just a preppy German.
Well, you're the hero, so.
I mean, is it a lavender marriage?
Let's don't read too far into this tab.
You're thinking too hard.
Thinking it's
one too far. Oh, is it? Yeah, that's not a lie.
I mean, obviously, now if I were doing it now, you know, the parents are old, and I don't even want to know, you know. So we're all grown adults, and I don't like to stir drama, but I'm also.
You have very strong opinions about.
I do have very strong opinions about loyalty and philandering and things like that. I have very strong opinions on that one. But also.
Do we all read our dilemma first and she decides? Or
do you just no.
She decides and then we.
We try and talk her out of it.
Right.
Okay.
We try to make her get the choose the other option.
Okay.
Because in many ways, it's not my circle, not my monkeys. But I do have very strong opinions about fidelity and loyalty and hypocrisy, oath breaking.
Don't look at me. This is all you,
dear. This is why I just really don't like my son-in-law's dad. Fuck me. Why this one?
I can't imagine any of the things we're going to hear as a hero are going to be good. So, I don't think this is just you guys. It's just, never played the game, but I get the feeling.
The point is to be tricksy.
Yeah, but I don't like starting drama. This is drama.
Make your choice. You're
only risking someone's whole marriage. Not that they weren't risking it in the first place.
Well, yes, I know. But
is this your fuck around or their find out?
Well, yeah, but if I tell my friend, I could hurt my friend. But then, of course, when this all blows up, you know, it's, oh, I didn't know anything about that. And then I'd be lying. And I just, there's a lot of dead space here as I struggle with this conundrum. What's that? It's for? There's going to be a long edit in there. Cats going,
No, just one.
Maybe a lot of them.
I'm used to cutting a lot of fluff of word, like sitting here. Okay, it's time to drink. Look, look, look,
look, look, look. Oh, that is a conundrum because, like I said, I don't like to start drama. I love to watch drama. I don't like to start it.
I'm still going to make you flip no matter which way you go here.
Oh, no shit. Anybody could do that to me, that would be you.
I just saw the cards I have.
Oh, fuck, Doc.
Question is, you gonna start the ball rolling, or are you just gonna sit back and watch it roll, if it ever does?
I know, that's the other thing. If it ever does, and how do I know that they don't have an agreement? I mean, does
make your choice, dear.
Does my friend know, and is he okay with it? I don't know.
If this much was certain, it wouldn't be an ethical conundrum. So.
Make your choice, woman.
I can't.
Yeah, you can.
If you saw it, you'd have to.
Yeah, but see, if I saw it, I have more than just choice A or choice B. Because then I can go in there and I can feel the situation out. It's like, hey, you know, I think I saw your mom last night. You know, do you...
Yeah, I think you have two choices.
I think you're a bastard.
Yes, I do. Right now, I am.
I probably am going to tell him.
Okay.
There we go. Don't like it. But I don't. I don't.
Now, do you play something to see if you can change your mind, or do we all just do it once?
We go around the table. So, starting with you.
Insomnia. In this dilemma, the hero has not slept for several days, and their judgment may be clouded.
That's standard operating procedure anymore. Thank you very much, Metapause.
That was not as effective.
You do not. Not sleep for several days in a row, generally.
I know.
You get naps a lot during the day when you need them. When you have no choice, anyway. Now you have not slept for several days.
I'm going to stand by my decision.
Okay.
All right.
Because I'm stubborn.
Facts. Facts.
So, Chris, discard the card.
Bomb deck.
That's a discard pile.
Yeah, just make a discard pile there. And... I'm going to play Uncertainty. In this dilemma, the hero has a bad gut feeling about one of the decisions for some reason. The trickster must explain why they have this feeling. You just know this family's a little... Something bad could happen if the father finds out. You get that vibe.
He couldn't guy.
He's a little violent. He's a little bit not all the way calm and chill.
Just... I'm not telling him. I'm telling my friends. So my friend is aware of this so that he can make plans.
Okay, so hear me out. In this dilemma, the only light on Earth is that of the constant full moon. That's still not a ton of light to work with. Are you so super sure that was not her husband? Just going, no street lights, no nothing, just the light of the full moon. Are you so super sure you saw that at night?
Look, if I told him that this, and it turns out I was wrong because I couldn't see it at night, then there's not, plus. Thank you, Frodo. He got up there and stabbed me in the leg.
You're going there.
That sounds right.
Then, you know, if it's like, oh, okay, well, your dad's looking good because I didn't recognize it. No, I'm going to stick with what I'm going to do. I don't like it. I still would have found out more information about it.
All right. So Sheila will discard that card. Chris, Sheila, draw up to 5 if you haven't already. And then we will move on to Chris's turn next. Okay. So Kat will read for him.
Okay.
Upon a sacred hill. Oh, you're going to love this one.
Yeah, I'm already nervous.
As a descendant of a long line of royalty, your family owns a lot of land. On the corner of this land is a hill regarded as sacred by the native people. For generations, your family have been happy to allow access to this hill, and you have willingly continued the tradition, as there has been no reason to change. You are approached by scientific organizations which propose the construction of a sophisticated telescope unlike anything in current existence on this particular hill. The particular location is ideal and unique for the studies that they are trying to conduct to shed light on many of the mysteries of the universe. Coming from a scientific background and a lineage of explorers yourself, you are inclined to let them build on the hill, to build the telescope. But this will offend the sentiments of the natives. Do you let them build the telescope or reject the proposal?
Okay, what's this? Can I read the first part of that?
As a descendant of a long line of royalties.
Okay, that's what I need. I was making sure I heard that part right.
Royalty, not nobility.
Well, okay.
Now, there's a difference between nobility and royalty.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
Noblesse oblige.
Okay, I'm rejecting the proposal because I believe in the people's beliefs more. Scientific progress will happen, even if it's not right here. So I will reject the proposal because their beliefs are more important to me than the scientists. I understand exploration. I understand. Well, I also understand with time we'll find out what we're going to find out anyway. I can actually make that one judgment reasonably quickly. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of great options for this one in that particular choice.
Just for the sake of argument, did Kat get the point that last round?
You only get points if you make the hero change their mind. So the hero of each round doesn't get an opportunity to get points. Otherwise, they could just be buttheads and say, no, none of you convinced me. I get all the points.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm going to play embarrassed. In this dilemma, the whole world just found out the hero's most embarrassing secret. I think you need to save some face and benefit mankind.
Good argument. This is saving face. This is respecting the people that I represent in my area. Despite my discomfort. Now, I'm not changing my mind for that one. That's a good one. I grant you, that's a good one.
Well, good for you. Because I'm going to play free space. The trickster who plays this card gets a free point. Yeah, sometimes the world isn't fair.
Oh, hold on to that then. So no argument, you just get a free point.
Yep.
Beach.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
All right. I'm doing one called Primitive. The dilemma takes place over 1 million years ago. All modern aspects of the dilemma become equivalent of that of the time period.
So they're going to build a platform to look up at stars, or I'll throw a blanket out. That's not interrupting me.
You get this land that was owned by the natives, you've come in there, your royalty, you've conquered it. That's yours. And it is yours by the will of God.
Arguable.
What do you think?
And they're natives.
And a million years ago, huh?
Been a million years or a millennia?
It says 1 million.
Okay.
Fair enough. I mean, that in that time frame, you'd be that much of an asshole. I'll be honest. Right? You'll have to get the point for that.
Yay.
I can't argue that one. It's the attitude of the time. Well, a lot of times, including this one in many cases. But yeah, I would be that level of asshole at that point.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on, do we want to open up another bottle?
I do, because I finished mine.
Yeah, I finished mine quickly.
All right. You guys are sipping. I'm having a nice drink.
This is the amateur hour over here.
Jeff and I do this on a semi-regular basis here.
I watch you guys do it, and I don't know how you do it.
That's fair, because sometimes we're not that sure either, to be honest. Okay. What we have on the table at this moment.
I think it becomes more chocolate with you the more you drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like compounds on your tongue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It like builds up.
Tannin do that, though.
It's a nice effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we have what I picked is a peach, a roasted peach and elderflower. We have...
I have a carbonated mead with natural flavors from... Oh, who is this?
In a minute. Thank you.
Williamson Mead and Brewing.
And mine was from Sap House, so I didn't say that.
And I think Sheila's pick it's was also Sap House. This is raspberry, hibiscus, and rose hip. So let's just
a pretty color.
Pop Chris's here.
We'll get mine going here.
It's going to be the easiest to open. It's just a little clap of crap and a tea cork.
By the way, for those of us, we've said this before, if you're making mead, don't use a tea cork.
Not ideal for long-term storage.
No. Now, my guys, it's family time for us too. So yeah, we're doing the family. So that's why we're not doing a really serious show this time.
Yeah,
this is also our family time, and we want to enjoy just as much as you guys. But we're inviting you to spend time with us for a change, and our very long suffering wives, Robbie,
who put up with our BS and you know,
taking over parts of the house in great quantity to do our mead.
Mm-hmm.
That's my wife nods emphatically.
Although they do get alcohol out of this, so, you know.
You think we drank a lot more.
Oh, wow, it's got a lot of fragrance in there. Mm-hmm. Good.
The peach, and there is roasty on the nose, too. Yeah.
Oh, man, I like that.
Elderflower is the other.
Yeah, I don't smell the elderflower, but.
Elderflower is such a light thing that I don't know that I could smell it, even if it was only elderflower, you know?
Here's a.
Oh, that peach, that roast and that peach is solid.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Off dry.
Bold little, flavor though.
Yeah, no, I get the
caramelized peach flavor in there.
Yeah, the roast is a little bit more. The roasty part is more on the nose than on the flavor, but the peach is definitely like that caramelized note to it.
What do you think?
It's not unpleasantly dry.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you said.
I mean, it's a medium dry.
But
it definitely has the peach aroma.
And we have one
not a fan.
Sheila's not enjoying the medium dry, I imagine.
No, it's not the sweetness content of it. I don't know, it didn't have a whole lot of peachy flavor to me. I just got this weird smoky flavor with none of the fruit.
Okay, that's fair.
And I don't want to drink liquid smoke.
That's fair.
So
I agree. I don't get a lot of peachy flavor, but the smell more than compensates for me personally because I can enjoy the smell while I'm enjoying the smokiness.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff got to enjoy a double helping.
Oh, yes. The tragedy.
I would pour more peach flavor to it.
Well, Jeff and I both said many times that we cannot overfruit our meat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
I mean, we've talked about waterless meats that I'd like to taste. Where we have so much peach or whatever fruit we've in there mashed up, liquids, whatever.
It pulls the liquid out of the mash.
The liquid is just the stuff you extract from the fruit.
The juice.
Yeah, so. Because we had one that was that blueberry cinnamon, I think it was.
Yeah, a few weeks back. That I strongly suspected was just a no water or was just that heavy on blueberry that it...
It came off as it was just a blueberry. I mean, it was so it was good,
mm-hmm.
but it was just there was almost no dilution there.
Yeah, no, and it's those Kurt Stock style fruit bombs that are, you know, I know he would totally go for any of those.
Oh yeah,
the balance has to be right for me to like those because they tend to be fruity as hell and sweet as hell. But you know, you get it right, it's damn good. You get it wrong, it's cloying and. Gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, I believe it is my turn for a challenge.
It is your turn for a challenge.
So that means Chris is going to read.
Here we go. Beans and baristas. Okay. While waiting to work, you're about to head into your favorite coffee shop, and you see all the baristas outside the storefront on strike. One pulls you aside and explains they are being forced to work unreasonable hours at a moment's notice. The owners are taking half the barista's tips, although the baristas do all the work. And as soon as anyone speaks up about the issue, that person is replaced immediately. You see the workers inside who have never seen you. You see workers inside you have never seen before. and assume they are hired to replace the workers on strike. You're fond of the striking baristas, and they ask you to support their strike by not giving the shop your patronage anymore. The downside to the request is there's really no other good coffee shops along your commute. And boycotting this shop would mean that you'd have to travel 20 minutes out of your way to find it, or find another way to get your daily fix. Do you A, find a different way to get your favorite snacks and drinks and beverages, or B, continue to shop at your favorite coffee shop despite the barista's request?
So you guys know
I'm a coffee person. You're a coffee-oriented person.
Yeah, I've seen you pop up like a little bird.
I need my daily fix to be functional and adult and capable of things.
Once I start reading them, I'm saying, this is going to be hard for Jeff.
He's a
good person.
It's not going to be hard for Jeff.
No. This is a very clear cut answer. I'm siding with the workers. And
good man. I knew all of them for a reason.
No. Fuck the scabs. Fuck the ownership class. God damn it. If I have to go make my own coffee at work, I can do that.
Dude, you just make your own coffee at home and give me crap for talking to baristas in the first place.
Yes.
And?
I work from home. I don't need to leave home to get coffee I like.
I offer to buy you coffee and you're like...
But he's taking the real world application if he worked away from home. So,
to be fair, I also just don't like Starbucks coffee. I think Seattle-style roast, they over-roast the beans.
They burn the beans.
Even in their light
roast. Let's be honest. Around where we are, we have three other choices.
We have Dutch Bros. Yes. We have Dutch Bros.
Scooters.
Scooters.
And Caribou Coffee.
Coffee. And we're getting to Tim Hortons somewhere around
here. We're about to get Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I think, was that Lisonet or Independence? Like it's a ways out, but it's there.
We've talked about, Tony and I have talked about going out there.
No, I need to go for research.
Yes, we're all time about Jimmy's.
I'm not a coffee person, mind you, but yeah.
All right. So, starting with my lovely wife, Sheila here, convinced me that I should continue shopping at the Devil coffee shop and, not F around.
I'm going to play Lost Inhibitions. And I'm going to say that the hero in this dress, I get to choose one of the people in this dilemma. This person is mildly under the influence of drugs and or alcohol. And I'm going to choose the hero.
Excuse me. Can I, let me just be under the influence of alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Drink up, buddy.
I'm going to say the only way that Jeff would be a nasty scab of a person is if he was under the influence of hard drugs.
Thank you. However, if I'm
thriving.
Yeah. And on my way to work, I got problems in this scenario. the more fun stuff in my system, the less I think I'm going to give a shit about my morning coffee, to be honest. I think I'm going to say no, sweetie. No.
I don't have anything really very good at this one. All right, I'm going to do this one. The trickster may choose one of the people in the dilemma, and that person is the hero's biggest foe. You hate lead barista. This guy has screwed your coffee order for no good reason.
He gives you the decaf.
He keeps calling you Jeffrey because nobody should go by a shortened form of just Jeff. No diminutives.
And they spelled it wrong.
And he keeps spelling it with a G.
Spelling it with a G is one thing. Calling me Jeffrey feels overly formal for no reason. Yeah,
that's my job.
Feeling overly formal for no reason?
No, calling you Jeffrey. I've got to call you by your government name.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, and I've known you longer than her, and I wouldn't do that to you.
No, I will call you by your government name.
Here is the uncertainty dilemma. If it were just this lead barista guy and maybe one or two other workers at this place, are two more people maybe getting screwed because he's being a dick and I'm willing to screw him over. Yeah. If it's 30 people on various shifts,
this is just one dude. This is one coffee shop.
It doesn't say it's part of a chain. It
doesn't say it's part of a chain.
It says your local coffee shop.
Right. So is it 30 employees at this coffee shop or is it like two other employees?
There's 30 people at one coffee shop.
I don't know.
You know.
I'm saying in extremis.
Okay.
But there are.
Wow. Okay. Somebody's overthinking like you.
But there is really no good way to screw him and not screw other people. And I'm kind of mind to say, no, I'm going to hold to my previous opinion.
Okay, I'm taking option C. The trickster may choose an alternative option to the two provided. The trickster gets a point of if they decide this option instead. It must be reasonable in a reasonable action in response to dilemma. Third option. The baristas come to you and say, will you manage, because you have a business, you have the business acumen to run a place, we'll open a shop with you and make it our own, with everybody sharing the profits.
I mean, I could do that. But that's an agreeable option. I'll give you the point on that one. Oh, hold on to that. Yeah, that's how we're keeping score, so to speak.
Thank you. I didn't realize that was that thing.
Yep. All right.
That was actually the best.
Oh, but why did I get that one?
Because that's how cards work.
At. Yeah, it's
the best one you can get.
That's why Rando Kardashian always wins at Cards Against Humanity.
Because he pre-draws?
No, you all play, and then you play the top card, which is always the best card.
Oh, yeah.
And it is inevitable. Like, at least a third of the time, that random card is something that is not only topical to the whatever the topic card is, but is hilarious as hell as an option.
And you all get beat by the top card every time.
All right, Sheila, this one's you.
Okay.
Extortion Hood. They've been called a hero, a savior, the best thing to happen to your town since it was established. With a 100% approval rating, the city's problems have seemingly disappeared one by one. The parks have never looked better. Education ratings have skyrocketed, and the city has achieved a net zero carbon footprint, better roads, and lower taxes. It all seems too good to be true. You decide to do a little digging and find out your new mayor has a dark secret. Before they got into office, they worked for a myriad of large corporations in which they had access to a lot of sensitive information. They are now using that information to extort money from these companies to funnel into the betterment of your town. They are doing a lot of good for many people, and although the amount of money they are taking from these corporations is a small percentage of the company's overall earnings, their activities are still very unethical and illegal. Do you A, report this activity to the authorities, or B, let the behavior carry on for the betterment of your town?
Option C, I make them a cookie platter.
Do they special cookies?
Fuck it, for them, they deserve it.
Are they cookies you can't eat in Kansas?
I think that would have been a better dilemma for me than Sheila at this point.
So, I'm going to go with option B. Let this behavior carry on for the betterment of my town.
Education, man. Mm-hmm. I get. I'll see what I can do here. Oh boy, this is tough. This is ridiculous.
I feel like mine are a little bit of a stretch.
Part of the fun, though, is that, you gotta just choose something random and just bullshit.
Yeah, the capacity to bullshit and make a convincing argument is sometimes the
that is you got. More of the game, in my opinion.
All right. I'm going to go with upgrade. The trickster may pick one of the hero's possessions and upgrade it into something much, much nicer. Okay. You're in a situation where everything that this morally questionable mayor is doing, you are benefiting significantly from. So you know that if you let him keep getting away with being skeevy, you're going to keep benefiting better. And that you know deep down in your heart that that's the wrong thing. Because if people find out, they're going to think, well, no, she did it just because it benefited her. I didn't care about anybody else.
They can wipe their tears with the bougie linen tissues provided by the town.
I love how she has her fingers pinched together. The booze.
I had nothing, okay? She did my best shot.
All right.
Big try to shame you into it. Yeah.
All right.
I have no shame.
She's married me, so I mean, she left shame at the altar 10 years ago.
No, I...
You wouldn't let us meet her for like the first 6 months you were dating
That's
her.
That's not true.
No, by a month, maybe.
Oh, no. No, it was longer than that. How
was it? I mean, no. I met fairly quickly.
Oh, no, she wouldn't let the rest of Twits know.
You guys are seeming bastards. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I'd be hanging out with me like, okay, well, Twits are about to come over, so.
You gotta go. I'd be like, to know my weird.
Actually, I think I was more defending you than keeping us isolated because we're a lot. We are a lot.
I already knew Christian.
To meet my lesbian friends because they're all weird.
I have in ages past dated other girls and on a third or fourth date went and, you know, did stuff with some of my sword fighting friends. And then the girl's like,
a little too intense.
I'm out.
Well, this was nice. I'm going to... She didn't say she was going to block my number, but she functionally did. Okay, well...
Well, I'm glad we can help you out then, man. Okay, anyway, I'm my turn. In this dilemma, if you let this continue, the minus injury, Trickster may choose one person to... In dilemma, the person will be injured due to the actions of the hero. The instructor may choose the manner and type of injury that befalls the individual. The chief of police, who has kept all order in this, will bear the full brunt when if an investigation ever does start. He will be the one to blame and will destroy him.
Oh, that is a good one. Because he is an innocent third party in this, for sure.
He's just getting benefits. Doesn't know what's going on.
No.
But he will be absolutely going to blame.
Damn, I really want to hear what Jeff has to say, but that's a good one.
You still will get to, even if he wins.
Oh, okay.
This continues for all three people. All three of us could feasibly change your mind, and the scenarios that we put forward do not change the scenario base. So just because, you know, the chief of police is going to hang doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have the fine linen tissues that provided by the town from cats. Those are separate scenarios. Separate ways to play, and each of us can score separately.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, knowing that, yeah, no, I don't think I would let someone else hang for the mayor being seedy, because then it just feels like I'm still supporting seedy individuals.
Okay. Your turn, Jeff.
Sure. I'm going to play contraband. In this dilemma, the hero is in possession of some illegal materials. The trickster may choose what these are. So... Your town is benefiting from this mayor's corrupt bullshit, but, well, you, the hero of the story, also happen to be running a meth lab, and you've been caught. However,
yeah, that's not a part of your thing there.
You could save your own skin by turning in the mayor. And take some of the heat off of you from federal authorities that are sure to come now.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to choose I'm not going to choose some other seedy individual over myself. But I think we're both seedy.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the kind of person to run a meth lab.
Sheila, I'm sorry, Sheila. I'm surprised you helped run the house. I mean, and I'm not one to talk, you know, because we stroll too.
So that's enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got that one. All right. Well, I don't know about you, Jeff. Jeff, you're the only one with anything about because you had a double. But it may be time for another...
solve that problem. All right. Carbonated peach or raspberry hibiscus rose hips?
Both carbonated peach. Because I'm pretty sure the rose hips are going to be nice.
Saving the best for last.
Ooh.
Ah. Ooh,
plastic screw caps.
Ooh.
Very fancy.
We will see how carbonated.
I can smell the bottle cap.
Let me flick that.
Oh, this is nice. Smell of the bottle cap. I'm sorry, I have a Muppets moment. Was that the smell of the bottle cap from Steve Martin in that movie?
I don't think I'm going to want any of that, Jeff. That looks really carbonated.
I'm just going to give you a little taster.
Okay.
I don't like my alcohol generally carbonated, so we'll give her a taste.
That's actually got a bit of carbonation there.
It does. That's a lot of carbonation. I don't want that much.
It has a smell to it, too.
I can smell it from here. It's nice, actually.
Oh, it smells really good.
Yeah. Hold the rest of that in your cup there, so in case Sheila wants a bit. If you don't, we'll take care of it ourselves. But
you're good people.
We'll figure it out.
What's a picture on the front of it?
It's got a wolves and a raven.
A wolf and a raven.
No, two wolves.
That's it. Two wolves and a raven. Okay, well, that's very very.
And two ravens. Plot twist.
Yeah. All it needs is a moon and another wolf, and it could be a t-shirt.
It is. It is Odincore.
Odincore.
Oh, that's got a great smell.
Oh, yeah. That's very...
very pleasant.
I mean, it smells a little bit more like canned peaches than like fresh peaches, but...
It does, but that's not a bad smell, though.
No, it's a very fragrant, pleasant smell. It's a really
nice changeover from the last peach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The peach extract was heavy.
Yeah.
It does not smell heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. I think I would like it better if it wasn't bubbly.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. I think that carbonation hit in the middle of the tongue
mm-hmm.
is the middle back of the tongue is the only thing that detracts from it.
I'm not a carbonation fan. Like, I don't drink soda. I don't do champagne. Beer is on thin ice. So I don't do it. But I feel like it kind of makes the peach a little lighter. And so it's just a light, refreshing.
I'm not a big one. Well, carbonated alcohol, because God knows I need my Coke.
Yeah. Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. My soda.
Yeah, no, leave the...
Yeah. That's
apparently my thing.
No,
it's not. But it's very pleasant. I wouldn't... I don't think that the bubbly detracts from it.
It's... Usually I like a lighter mead like this with some carbonation. I don't feel like it adds as much as it could.
But
it's still a very light mead. The acidity from the peaches is nice. It totally reminds me of, you know, you get canned peaches in water. Or
yeah.
You get that sweet water. This just reminds me of sipping from that.
Yeah.
It's not overly sugary sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fruit sweet. Very pleasant.
I'm not a fan of the carbonation here. But the flavor and the lightness,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with the comment that, you know, if this was carbonated, I thought I'd probably enjoy it a little more.
Not enjoying it
carbonated. Yeah, I can honestly take or leave the carbonation on this, which is weird because usually, you know, if it's good carbonated, I like it more carbonated. Ooh. But I don't think I would like it just as well if it was still.
Yeah. I mean, I've never made, I probably will never make. And I've had so few carbonated meats.
Good one. Blew up on you.
That wasn't me tasting the mead voluntarily. I was tasting it. It was blasted in my face and I couldn't help. It was going up my nose and down my throat simultaneously.
And I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be still.
It was. The bottle said still. And 2/3 of the bottle came out of that. When I popped the cork out of it. 2/3 of the bottle blew up into the air onto me.
So how many bottles did you saber for that?
I didn't saber that
one. Sounds like you should.
I mean, if I would have sabered that one, I would have had a good time with that. But I promise you, it was a 375-milliliter bottle. Mm-hmm. It was a lemon.
Oh.
It was a lemon.
Waste.
It was my first year at Valkyrie Horn. And I popped I pulled towards myself a little bit, holding it close against my body. I popped the cork. It was stuck. As soon as I popped that loose, I just got a face full and I pushed away from me. It was a shower after that. I was smelling the meat directly through my sinuses. And all that was left in the bottle at the end of that carbonation, after it blasted out of the bottle, that blew up out of the bottle, there was less than a quarter of the bottle left. The rest of it came out the neck of the.
What a shame.
Gushers, yo. Gushers.
And everybody was sitting there, oh! And I was so glad I had a spare shirt. Because I had to go to the bathroom and wash all that stink. It was sweet.
It was sweet. So you would have been covered in just sticky.
Yeah, I'm also glad it was in February, so there were no mosquitoes to speak of, because I would have been very popular.
Jeez.
But, it was a bad day. But that is the most notable carbonated drink I've ever had.
Yeah, I've had a few gushers in my time, but nothing explosively gusher, just like, oh, no, this is no longer being contained by a bottle. And more often than not, I just kind of held it over the spit bucket or whatever we want to call it, where you dump the dregs of whatever you've been tasting and don't want to finish and let that sort itself out.
How many times on average do you dump in the bucket when you're judging?
Do I dump into the bucket?
Mm-hmm. I assume you never take it back out.
That'd be a freight train.
I mean, I think it was Valkyrie's Horn. At least one year, somebody took all the dump bucket stuff home and still distilled it into something.
Well, there'd be enough alcohol there to kill everything.
What didn't the guy who ran the dock at that time take the remainders of the meads and do the same thing?
Maybe. That might have been what I was thinking of. But yeah, no, that's...
You guys go too hard.
It's not whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, it's mead, man. No. You know, those bees worked hard for that.
I would say I probably pour out the dregs of about half of my cups. Sometimes... Realistically, you know, when I've got a flight of 5 to 8 meads, you know, that I'm going to be drinking at the table, I more often than not, I know I either need to judge a category and say, okay, this is going to be first, second, third, or I'm going to need to have, you know, 2 or 3 advance to the best of category flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to go back and reference some. But if some of them are just like, you know, not that great, I'm going to go, okay, well, this isn't going any further than this table. I can dump the rest.
Okay.
But, you know, the good thing that I had second up, I'm going to need to taste that again because I will have forgotten it, you know, 6 meats later.
Yeah, right? Yeah, gotcha. I'm just kind of curious because, you know, I know, I'll be honest, in the 2 times I've been a steward there,
mm-hmm.
I've never seen anybody dump it up into the bucket. They generally will finish that little bit we give them, which I'm sitting here. Guy, you got a long way to go. You're not throwing any of that out?
Yeah, and the pour for a judge is usually pretty light. You're talking 2 ounces tops.
Yeah, tops. Well, we don't give you much because that's more for us. To be honest.
The stewards are all the luscious.
Yeah, we're the steward. You know, you got to be a steward. It'll be great. I didn't realize how great it would be. It was awesome. And yeah, we've said this before a long time ago. If you get a chance to be part of a mead contest, go do it. Be a steward. Yeah. A, we could use the help. Many hands make light work, and
there's plenty of meat to share.
There's a lot of meat to share and get a lot of great camaraderie there.
And there, every meat competition I've ever been part of has been more or less on a voluntary basis.
Yeah.
A number of people will have, you know, like a commercial side where the entry fee is considerably higher than the
obvious.
Right. But a lot of that pays for renting the event space, feeding the judges and the staff. The
medals.
Right. Medals are not a small thing. There are a lot of expenses that are, you know, going into this thing that everybody's just kind of giving up their time to do.
Even if you go to this contest as a steward, pay your hotel room, pay for your meal. Believe me when I tell you, I am not cheated in this experience. I have a bomb-ass time. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens are soft.
Okay, well, I don't know if you brought this up before.
Not on the show.
Chickens are soft.
I too have received chickens. It's
be a while there, aren't you?
Chickens are fun to pet.
So these two, you don't know this, but probably 3/4 of the time, I am sitting next to Jeff and Chris in the garage while they're recording this show. So
choice, no less.
I get to watch these two. I get to try everything, which is my fringe benefit. But I watch these two end up 3 sheets to the wind, talking to each other and drinking too much mead.
Define that.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Anyway.
Too much is a subjective qualification.
Fine. Watch them drink copious amounts of mead.
I'll accept.
And then in the nice weather months, you know, when it's time to start drying out.
I guess what's happening.
they will all go sit out, you know, on the back deck and we'll watch the chickens. And
one of the chickens is social.
One of my chickens is social. My chica, she's a Buff Orpington for those who care. And she is just the sweetest thing.
She loves being petted.
She loves being pet. She'll hop up next to you and go, what you doing? But yeah, no, that was how Chris discovered that chickens are soft.
And he sends me a text.
It was pretty toasty.
No, there's absolutely, I know he's over here. I know he's been recording. And all of a sudden I get this text that just says, chickens are soft.
And that's all I text.
There's no context anywhere about it. Just chickens are soft. And I'm like, are you outside with the chickens? And he's like, yes.
And that's all I tested.
And I'm like, how many episodes did you record? 4.
We were at a busy summer. We had to get some things done.
But it was like,
this was, I think, before summer camp.
Yeah.
We had a stretch where you were going to be out of town and I was going to be at summer camp for like 2 weekends. And yeah.
Yeah. We were just not going to be able to get another session in before, you know, for another 4 weeks. We had to get them all done at once.
And so he's just, I was like, yeah, chickens are soft. He's like, chickens are soft. You're not going to be home for a couple hours, are you?
It was.
No, these two were residing on another planet for a while.
And the conversation did come up at one point with Jimmy. If you just need to sleep on the sofa, it's right there. And I was considering it. I was actually considering it.
If you need to stay over there, just stay over there and come home in the morning.
Yeah, no, that we do have a very nice sleeping couch.
Yeah, it's an awesome couch. I fit lovely. I would have no bones most of that night, so it would have been less uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then, that's why my wife now knows, if I text her, chickens are soft, I'm going to be here a while.
He's going to be here at least another hour and a half.
Probably more. But that's the chickens are soft, now that people know.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We suffer for our art,
John. We do. It's
harsh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The things we go through.
They do not suffer. All right. Okay.
All right. Now the hero.
I'm now the hero.
Genetically modified offspring.
Ooh. Why do you keep getting ones that I do have very strong opinions on? Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to find one you don't have one on.
Sorry, I have opinionated.
Okay. Yes. One morning, while browsing the news, you see the government has sanctioned trials for the genetic modification of human stem cells. Later that same day, a longtime friend calls. You know, they've been thinking about having kids in the near future and explain that they've been working on these trials. They explain, although participation in the trials is very exclusive, they can hold a spot for you if you want. The procedure increases the likelihood of the child developing a mental or physical ailment by 10%. However, the benefit of undergoing the procedure is that the study gives you the ability to select the traits you would like your child to have. For example, the procedure would result in a child who is kinder, stronger, smarter, or any other trait.
Red hair. Permanent red hair.
So you can do that all by yourself. Based on the attributes you deem important and subsequently select. Do you A, want in on the trial, or B, pass on the opportunity?
Please remember my children are nicknamed Whoops, Uh-Oh, and Not Again.
Good. We all wanted children, but just when they came at times we were not ready to have children. So what are you going to do, Kat?
Well, number one, that little part of my biology is kind of shut down now.
That's the point.
That's not here nor there with the question.
Okay, number one, I already have 3 kids, so I'm not really looking for a third.
Fourth.
How much
are you doing?
Oh, enough. because, you know, I could get another, you know, sweet child like Ian was, or a very, you know,
talented one like Heather or Brent.
Talented, or I could get another one. I could get one who's like got their shit together from a young age, who at 8 was more responsible than 32-year-olds I knew.
Like,
you know. No, it was Heather.
That was also Ian.
That was also Ian, because they were good. And then I could possibly get another Rowan. Because God love him. That child
is unique.
Because you always see, once
you 20-year teachers say, I've never had a child like this child. I didn't think that was possible.
You think I overthink things. This child...
He's out of the box.
He's out of the box.
You know, he's like, you want to teach it, but teach your children think outside the box. Rowan, oh, there's a box? That is so cool. Do you know what you can do with a box? You can do a lot of fun things with a box. You can make sure, you make it pretend it's a castle. You can pretend it's a spaceship. You can draw on it. I mean, this was Rowan.
Then when you're done, you can set it on fire.
Oh, yeah.
No. It'll be an explosion because it's much more interesting because his grandfather taught him.
Okay.
Anyway, what's your answer, my dear?
Recently painted over the soot marks in my bathroom ceiling that was a smiley face where he was seeing if he can do this without setting my ceiling on fire.
Not a lie.
Shit on fire. I mean, I left it up for what, about 10 years?
So are you saying you're passing on the trial?
That's right.
I don't know what you guys got for
Taurus. We'd have to pass on the trial too because Owen's perfect.
Yeah.
I would not say any of my children. Oh, it's pretty damn close to perfect. Now, I wouldn't say any of my children aren't perfect, but you know, they are absolutely kind and
wonderful children.
They're wonderful people, be sure.
But I honestly, you know, I love Rowan to death, but he's a great, smart kid. But yeah, you know, I'm glad there's one. If that was a twin set, I don't know.
The world wasn't prepared for that.
It was.
The whole world.
Where can I say, hey, guess what your kid did today? And he's like, oh, God, what?
And your whole body cringes at the statement, you know that thing?
True.
And he didn't have to tell me which kid.
That's true. Walking around the edge of the bathtub. I thought, what can I see him doing this very carefully? Practicing, walking on the edge of the bathtub. What are you doing? I'm practicing. You're practicing for what? My act. Your act, yes. For the circus. It's a circus. Yeah, the clowns in the yard told me I needed to do this. The clowns in the yard!
It didn't go up from there. It went down from there, okay? Onward.
Fourth the time. He's like three or four at the time, but I just called him. Like, guess what your kid's doing? And he's like, that was not on my bingo card.
Dude, it is impossible to put Rowan on a bingo card.
Really is? Really is?
What? That is an exercise of futility.
So awesome. It's an awesome kid.
You put
kid,
it on the bingo card and it's not going to happen.
And this is a kid, you know, you think, oh, peer pressure will make him be, you know, ordinary. No.
Not even close.
Yeah, it's like...
My card says...
Kids look at him and it's like, you're weird. And his response is always, yeah, and.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm passing on this.
If you do not choose this, the child will be obese.
What if I don't choose this? There's no child.
I'm under the assumption.
Your eventual child.
Your eventual child, if you do not choose, your eventual child will be horribly obese and unable to lose the weight with all the complications therein.
You still have a 10% chance of an ailment up to and including in obesity.
Yeah, it was in the card.
I know, but my choice is still not to participate in the study. And if I'm not participating, there's no child.
Okay. I would go on the assumption there was going to be another child.
Okay, well, no, I wasn't. That if you were going to... My understanding of this one is, I can choose to participate in the trial.
And choose your
and
child.
And choose a child.
Or just choose, take your chances.
Or just take my chances.
That's what I was assuming it was.
And, well, part of the chances is there ain't no child. And, ain't no child.
Well, I'm going to throw a real hard right turn here and say, martial arts. You're a martial arts master. And by participating in this child, or this trial, the resulting child, you can choose to have all the capacity to carry on your legacy and be an even greater martial arts
master than you yourself.
Yeah, but I also don't think I should live my life through my children. What if I have a kid who hates martial arts and then I force him into that? That makes me an asshole. And I'm just, no, I've always said my kids are my kids. Yeah. And whatever it is they do, they do.
I can verify that part.
All right. I'm going to try time travel. This dilemma takes place in the time period of the trickster's choice. And I'm just going to choose a time before birth control. You don't get a whole lot of say in whether or not you're not going to have a kid or not. So you can choose to have these traits in your child with the risk, or you can take the risk going in with blind genetics.
I'm good with blind genetics.
Okay.
Yeah. At least I got two to acknowledge you're having a kid.
Yeah. Nice job. No one else could do that.
You two are looking a little slow in the drinky-dinky department, too, by the way.
It's bubbly, and I don't drink the bubbly shit fast.
So I think we're up for another...
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
Do it. I will finish my wife's and catch up with everybody.
I will say the carbonation on that did not stick around.
No, it went flat fast. But yeah, but I probably would have that is when it went flat. The tang of carbonation is still there, even though the carbonation is so strong. I don't like that.
That's why I gave it to you.
But overall, that drink, I would drink that. Peach drink, I would drink this. You know,
it's very nostalgic to me when you guys mentioned the canned peach juice. I know that doesn't sound complimentary, but I used to drink the shit out of that stuff as a kid. So this really took me back.
Preach. Yeah, so me too.
Thanks for that.
My mom would can everything except meat.
You can can meat. That's just literally, I mean.
I'm glad she didn't, because that sounds.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Basically,
you're more like pickling it, sort of. I mean, you put it in a brine and stuff.
That's my grandma did with all the roast yarn. She'd soak it in vinegar. That doesn't sound appetizing to me. Come on.
We got something very pretty this time. This is the raspberry hibiscus and rose hip from Saphouse. This has been on my wife's radar since I got it.
So I'm glad she's finally hitting it.
It's sitting here in front of me on the table, and I can smell it from here. It's very fragrant.
Oh, it's nice.
Oh, that's very nice. So it's rose hip and hibiscus?
Raspberry, hibiscus, and rose hip.
Yes. Okay, so I'm definitely smelling the raspberry. Oh, and there's a little bit of the floral. And
it's got
rose hip.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous color from the hibiscus. No,
it's got that gorgeous red amber.
Yeah. You could call it a dark pink. Yeah.
It's pretty.
It's definitely that comes from the hibiscus. But yeah, you get the floral.
My only beef with this is that it came in a small bottle.
Yeah. It's a Saphouse has been doing a lot of 375s. And that's
their prerogative.
It's sad, but
it makes me sad.
Well, but it, in one way, it's some way you can get it, and then if you don't like it, you don't have a whole lot to throw away.
That's true, but I'm
going to very tangy this. And kind of dry.
Yeah.
Florals on the back, and it lingers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of, it kind of attacks the palate a little bit to me, on me.
The
raspberry, I think it is.
Well, it could be the raspberry, it could be the rose hips, but there's a lot of acid in that, and it does kind of, like Kat mentioned, it kind
of lingers. This reminds me of drinking my hibiscus tea. Because I don't play, I ask for it hella strong, and I don't add a lot of sugar to it. So, to me, that acid just comes with the territory of a good hibiscus tea, in my opinion.
Okay, if you like a strong hibiscus, I get that. But I'm going to do something I normally don't do, is I'm going to hand it over to you, Sheila. Oh. Yeah, because you can have mine. I'm not enjoying it as much as I would like to.
Fair.
It's pleasant.
It's pleasant. I could drink it if I need, if I was to be polite, but I don't have to right now.
A mildly sweetened hibiscus tea, because you get a lot of that floral in there. Some people don't like the floral.
That's true, but I do.
But you do, yeah. No, this is
I'm a gin drinker.
I know, I forgive you.
You drink florally or citrusy gins. You're not much of a young London Dry kind of gin lady, where it's the dry juniper and...
I like the things that people do with gin. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't necessarily like...
I was thinking about doing a juniper mead. I may need you to help me with that. to taste that for me to make sure I do it.
There is one. I'll have to go home and look it up. There is one of the local distillers here in the metro, and I can't think. It's not Town Topic.
It's like it's, from Earth or something like that.
It's not from the Earth, but they did a gin. I'm not a fan of gin, but they did a citrus floral gin that was amazing.
It sounds like a spiritual experience.
I have said I like the gin, okay? And we all know that I was a whiskey and rye girl.
Oh, God. So bad. I've seen this woman. If I drank whiskey and rye like she drank whiskey, I would be in a coma. She loves the whiskey and rye. That burn of rye that people find horrible, like me, she's in here. Oh, that's smooth. I'm saying,
I don't like it when things that I'm ingesting hurt me.
It doesn't hurt.
Do capsaicin forward foods. I don't do abrasive spirits. If it's going to hurt me, I'm not ingesting.
You're not a fake.
Oh, no. You take that shot of whiskey and then you inhale. So then you just get that warm afterglow going down. And then you eat a strawberry afterwards. And that strawberry's like, oh, so sweet.
I would try that.
Okay. Well, that sounds good another day, Maurice.
But that moment you see, and it's like, I don't know, it's not menthol, but it's like has that cooling sensation of a menthol.
Mm-hmm.
It's still burning, but it's cold now. I love that. Paris is like, bitch.
We're not recording in the garage today. We're upstairs in the kitchen.
Yeah,
it's warm and the cat keeps trying to get off the table.
Bigger
well,
table
we say the cat.
So the cat has been bothering us.
Yeah, the cat aggressive.
Paris has been like, my table,
My table, let me have it back. No, you can have it back. The adults are here. But we're having a delightful time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, we're going to continue playing our game, but we have been here.
Babbling.
Well, I think we can run a little long. Okay. And this is a cozy chat kind of an episode, just to enjoy time with our wives and, you know, share a little something with our listeners that's not as focused. We could continue. We could have another bottle, honestly, if you guys are down for it.
I'm down for it.
And we can
at least do another round. We just started a new round.
Yeah, we just started a new round with your question. So
we should finish the round.
Us should finish up, and then we'll call this good. Kat, please don't jump on my laptop. I know we're at your table, and no one is giving you a chair to sit in like you are accustomed to every day, all day. But chill. Please.
Okay, who's not? I've done the I've talked about the obesity where you talked about. Are we done with this?
Yes,
okay, we're done. So it is time for Kat to read one of Chris's, and then she can pick another bottle.
Yeah.
I can pick another bottle. Yeah.
In either order. You can pick a bottle and then do it.
I'm going to read because I've still got a little bit left here.
Oh, Sheila's got plenty of drinks.
After being picked up from the garage, your former car has just made its last journey. You head back to your friend's house for a nice eating and some online vehicle shopping. You don't exactly have the money for a new car at the moment, and your friend is quite well off. So they say you can borrow their moped to commute to work. It's not a perfect solution, but it gets the job done, and they haven't used it in quite some time. Several months later, you have a new car, and your friend is moving to a smaller place. They don't have room for the moped, so you offer to store it as a thank you for letting you borrow it for so long. After a few years, you have fallen out of touch with this friend. You are moving and no longer have a place to store the moped, nor do you have a space for many of the other belongings, so you decide to have a garage sale. Although you did not put the moped up for sale, someone saw it and offered it to buy it for about 20% more than it's actually worth. You could really use the money, but it also doesn't belong to you. Do you sell your friend's moped, or B, tell the customer it's not for sale?
That's not a non-issue for me. It's not mine. I'm not selling it. I mean, the fact that I need the money is irrelevant to the fact that it ain't mine. It just isn't mine. I'm not saying I wouldn't call and say, would you like me to sell this for you? But I'm not selling it for me.
As usual, I don't have very good cards here, but I'm going to go ahead and play pessimist.
The trickster may choose one of the people. In this dilemma, the person is a pessimist and always focuses on a worst possible scenario. In any dilemma, the trickster may not choose the hero. The friend that you borrowed the moped from in the first place, they've already written that moped off. They assumed if it's, you know, even still working, it's probably just a piece of crap. They do not care what happens to it.
Fair. I don't have the title. It's not my name. It's not legally mine in any capacity to be able to sell it. I still can't sign it.
Okay.
I don't have super great options. So I'm going to say, I'm going to use paralysis. In this dilemma, the hero is paralyzed from the waist down.
I'm definitely not used to that with that.
Using the moped, it's going to be a whole rigmarole for you to actually get rid of it. You have now been burdened with this moped by this guy who has ghosted out of your life. You could really use the money to help make your new place more accessible for you.
Oh, good argument. It still comes down to the fact I cannot sell another person's property without consent or some kind of ownership. I just can't. I would, if I did that, it would be, I'd hate myself on a fundamental level. I couldn't do it. I still have to not. I may abandon it, but I'm not going to sell it.
Would you tell the person where you're going to abandon it?
Yes, I would, absolutely.
Get your shit or else.
Go give your shit or someone else is going to get it.
Oh, no, I was talking about the person at the garage sale.
I'd give him second notice. A fair amount of time.
All right. I'm going to play optimist. The trickster may choose one of the people in the dilemma. This person is always is an optimist and always sees the positive side of any situation. Your friend is that optimist. And if you sold that bike, oh, cool, dude, I had almost forgotten about it. I'd kind of written it off. That's great. You can use the money to set up your new place.
I knew you'd do that. As you said, the optimist, I know this is going. I knew where this is going.
You know this, that you know that they're going to do that. They'll be like, oh, wow, cool. I'm glad somebody's got a chance to use that bike since neither one of us were using it.
Hey, you.
I know.
If they were the type that would say that, yeah. It still comes down to the fact, until they tell me that, I can't sell it.
Yeah, so this one isn't really a matter of morals. This is a legal matter. You don't have the title.
I don't own it. I mean, even if it was considered abandoned, legally speaking, as a person, and a friend of mine gave me this thing to use for a time, and then I just had it for all that time afterwards. They've moved on, I've moved on. Still, I've never considered it to be my moped.
Well, so. but ownership is 9 tenths.
9 points of the law? No. Not to me. Ownership is ownership.
But you could call them and say, hey.
You could also go through the state, I'm sure, and go through some rigmarole to get.
Have you ever dealt with state?
No. I make Jeff do that.
I mean, I can. Jeff actually cringing at the thought of that right here in front of me.
Jeff's
reacting. He's in there, oh, God. Oh, I mean, I feel his whole body cringing away into himself.
The fact that everyone else was talking definitely muted out the exasperated sign that came out of my mouth.
So, yeah, I've actually gone through that kind of rigmarole. I can't sell until it's been either given, bequeathed, or something. In fact, it's mine. I can't. Sorry. That would have been awesome if I could have, because I love mopeds. I love my scooter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's a scooter boy.
I love my scooter. The way the car started this morning, kind of scared to try to scrub my scooter away.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, we had when the cold weather hit, we had a week where both of our cars decided our batteries just didn't need to be charged.
Oh.
And
I think we just have to bring that battery inside the house and charge it.
Is gift you a trickle charger?
No, we have one of these. It's it's the size of like a tarot deck, and it has a little attachment to it. It just happens to be in here because I've been making sure it's charged, because there was a week we were friggin' relying on this thing. But you just connect this, and it has little maybe 1 foot cords that attach to your battery. You press the power button, and 10% of the charge goes into your battery. And apart from one time when I think it got left out into the garage, or no, it was left out in my car and was a little too cold, it started the car every time.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
No, it is a must have.
My
yeah.
dad got us, gave us this yeah, like
later in by purpose. Mm-hmm. In books of the car.
As my kids.
Yeah.
No, they're a wonderful Christmas present.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool. The tire inflators that run on your cigarette lighter are also nice, but I've been through like two or three of those in my time, just burning them out from using them too much. So,
yeah, I will say that after the end of the show, we are going to do our drawing for all the books.
Yes.
Until the show comes out, they can still, you know.
Well, this will come out on Christmas Day. Yeah. Do we want to extend that out and make it New Year's?
I would like to give the opportunity more people to get it, but I don't know. I mean,
I would say you guys already put out a
due date. What was that, a month notice?
Not quite an entire month.
And now my wife is getting to the point of which she pooed.
No, I'm not that drunk. I'm not drunk enough that I'm a little loose. Then having to really make that Jiminy Cricket wake up.
Basically, we were running it from if memory serves from Thanksgiving to Christmas, so yeah. Not quite an entire month.
Well, why don't we just put it to the first, so we have an entire month in? Because I want people to have a chance at this.
Sure,
I really do.
So
we've got a response. That's not the problem.
Yeah,
but I mean, is there something we can do to sweeten the pot for that? Because maybe get a consolation notices of some kind to the people who didn't win. At least a couple people, you know. I mean, I know people appreciate, you know, being there's not very many people in, so I have a better chance.
You know, we could, after we're done here, since we're a little bit tipsy and silly, and you guys are going to be hanging around, I could go grab the crate full of Meat House swag, and we could just see.
So that would be nice.
What?
Let's extend this out for until the first, which is one extra week, guys. It's not much.
No, it's literally one extra week. It's not much at all. But if you've been putting it off, you've been thinking, oh, I need to do that.
This is your last chance.
You need to go do that.
Yeah. It's your last chance. But we will, for our New Year's episode, we will add some additional things for consolation prize.
And just some goodies. I don't even remember what I've gotten there. I've got some buttons and
stickers. We each have things we can contribute.
Sure. So.
And I'll be glad to do so.
Yeah, we can't send you our mead because that's illegal.
It's illegal and improbable and hard, to be honest. It's expensive to do.
Yeah, no, to do that legally, you have to pay
a lot of money to the state.
Not to mention go through FedEx and for UPS, and you have to pay their, you know, liquor bonding and blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And you cannot get our meat. As much as we'd love to be able to share it with you, you'll have to come and see us sometime to have a shot at that. We can give you some swag. But if we're going to extend this, I think they deserve a little bit of just, if I don't win now, I get some. What do you think?
I don't know if we can give everyone something, but we can throw
a few of extra things.
We've got some good stuff we can throw to people in addition to some books. So yeah, let's do it. A little Christmas cheer from us to you guys.
Yeah. So, all right. So whose turn is it?
Well, it's your turn to get a question. No, you just had a question.
Yeah, I
she just read.
I just read.
So you give a question to me, and Kat gets to choose another bottle, or somebody gets to choose another bottle.
You want to choose another bottle before I start this situation?
Tell you what, read the situation, and I'll look.
Okay. Bass Lehner's Law Abiding is the title. Less than an hour before your flight leaves, you're traveling on the freeway and are 500 meters from the exit ramp that will take you straight to the airport. A car crash has just occurred. The traffic is at a standstill until emergency vehicles arrive and clear the road. You're on your way to meet the largest potential client of your company has ever had. So I'm assuming this means you're an owner of a company or, you know, a very high member of that company. If you miss this meeting, the client will partner with your competitor and you will likely face severe penalties at work. You can sneak into the emergency vehicle lane and make it to the exit, but if you get caught, you're likely to be slapped with a huge fine and miss your flight. Do you A, risk the penalties and drive on the emergency lane, or B, wait and hope the wreck is cleared in time for you to make your flight? Apparently, this says that you were a responsible flight person taking a flight and gotten there early. So you have a little bit of leeway, but will you make it? Here we go.
It's in a meeting.
You know,
If I were the owner of a company, a small company, I would be more willing to fudge the rules for my company's sake than if I were just, you know, C-suite executive trying to benefit a corporation. Either way, I am disinclined to take the emergency exit lane just to be on time for a fucking meeting. But I would be more willing to if it was a company that I owned and was directly responsible for, as opposed to just a member of a executive committee or something. Either way, I think I'm going to go, no, I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope the wreck is cleared in time.
Okay.
I've driven with you. You think the speed laws, at least, are suggestions.
That's not true. He's pretty good at speed laws anymore.
Okay.
Depends on which car I'm driving.
Spacing, it's a little bit different.
I am used to the way my car feels at around 70 miles an hour, which is about, you know,
five over
most interstates, apart from like stretches of 435 around here or 70, that it there's just not much to hit. So they'll let you go up to 70. When I'm driving Sheila's car, it's a lot smoother. And I tend to lead foot it because I forget that, I'm going through.
Also, whether or not your child is in the car with you.
Aw,
sweet. Well, I do a little beehive with the meat house, our meat house name above it. That's kind of cool. Thank you. Do an artsy deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the, no, I'll just wait for it to clear.
Okay.
All right, Jeff. So you work or own, we have not decided nor established, a big company with a bougie legal department. Screw the rules, because you have the world's best lawyer on retainer.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Did that say that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, there's a lawyer on that thing. Holy cow. Like, actually says lawyer on it. Okay, what you got? Yeah.
I'm already of a screw the rules mindset. This is more about the morality.
Your lawyer's problem.
This is more about the morality of, hey, you know, we need to keep the lane clear so that emergency vehicles can do
emergency. You're having an emergency. You're going to miss your meeting.
That's not an emergency. Why?
Losing your bougie job at your bougie company is going to be a problem.
Because then I won't have a bougie lawyer anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's persuasive.
I think you're a liar, but fine.
I think if I had the world's greatest lawyer, I would not have time for business meetings because I would be getting into some very sketchy shit.
And now you're late business. To your sketchy shit. You had a very important negotiations meeting.
I've got with nothing some very important
clients.
That was probably the best possible answer you could have given him. But
all right.
Yeah. I don't think the owner of a meth lab has any room to park.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. What is that? Kim Kardashian thing?
What the?
No, you're already reaching Rando? Now.
Yeah, Rando the Rando Kardashian. Yeah. Shuffle. Trickster may take the deceit card off the top of the deck and then play that one instead. Oh, what do we got? Okay. The trickster
you may choose, get the next card. Wow.
May choose one of the persons in the dilemma. This person has been repeatedly abused to their partner. Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of heavy.
Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of heavy. So you know that if you don't make this, the job will go to your competitor. You know that. It's a gimme. Because it's already been stated. You also know that partner over there is an abusive son of a bitch. He's going to get drunk because he got this deal. He's going to be really happy. When he gets drunk, he gets violent. Probably beat his wife and kids.
Think of the children, Jeb.
That is the most persuasive argument.
That is. The only thing I can think of.
Given those circumstances, okay, no, I need to make this meeting so that he doesn't get drunk and beat his kids. And wife.
Possibly his secretary. No, no.
Just everyone. Leaves a wake of destruction.
I've got great cards to help you make the same decision you made.
Yeah. I had something similar for you in the first round, I think.
You're right, that Rando Kardashian really comes through in clutch.
But I don't have anything to make you change your mind, per se. Let's see here.
So we, while Chris is going through his cards here, we just opened up our fifth bottle. This is a Kith and Kin from Sap House. It's a holiday spiced mead.
Actually a Christmas mead. So mm-hmm.
Well, I think I brought this to my in-laws' Thanksgiving 1 year and was well received. This is another bottle that I got a year later, I think. But yeah, it's got some nice like nutmeggy and clovey notes on it. And,
oh, I love that.
Oh, it smells so nice. It's so festive.
Yeah. It's a nice medium amber.
Is that medium? Mm-hmm. Medium to maybe the deep amber, but medium, I would say, let's...
Dark medium?
Yeah, on a...
Dark straw.
On a 1 to 10 scale, it's maybe like a 6 or 7 darkness.
But,
Smell is...
I can go through the process of being a judge like you do, so I'm learning to be what amber looks like from you as we do this. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm getting that. But let's see.
It definitely has a nut. You smell the spices.
Yes. There. It's very pungent.
Oh my gosh.
And it's very smooth. The spice is good, but it's so smooth.
Smooth. I mean, that breathing you heard there was because I wanted to feel it, like the air going across that spice on my tongue. Oh, that was good.
It feels a little like nutmeg more than anything else, is what I'm getting.
They're
a little
clove on the outside. Aniseed.
I could see that.
I don't taste the aniseed, but that's why I have you help me taste my meats and sweetening.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's very smooth.
It's very smooth, but you better like spiced meats.
Yeah.
Because it is very spice forward.
I do.
I got great news for you.
Really? You don't like spiced meat? Ooh.
I am a child.
It's okay.
I like a little bit of pie with my whipped cream. So...
Okay, well, for pumpkin pie, my wife makes a lovely spiced, clove-heavy pumpkin pie. I love the clove. And I like a little bit of pie with my whipped cream, too, I'll be honest. Because it's one of the few times I allow myself to have, like, dairy things like that.
That's true, Mr. Lactose Intolerant.
I'm not lactose intolerant, I'm just allergic.
Yeah, he's allergic to cow dairy. Is it casein? Oh. Casein?
It's casein, I think. Yeah. It's in cow dairy. Specifically. Really?
So you can have, like, a goat?
Yeah, I eat goat cheese all the time. And I have sheep cheese. I can do anything except cow dairy.
Okay.
It's like ice cream, yogurt, thing like that.
Yeah, he can digest the lactose just fine.
I don't get an upset stomach. I simply have trouble breathing.
Today I learned.
Yeah, so, your friend here is, as usual, when I go to a doctor's office, I go, well, I don't know what's wrong. Thanks, doc.
Well, all right. We know what's wrong. It's just really
Have you tried authentic mozzarella that's made with water buffalo?
I have not.
You've not laid hands on it.
I would be curious because it feels like it's more cow-like than goat or sheep,
The allergy isn't so severe that he's like in danger.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get the same effect whether I drink 2 ounces of cow milk or a gallon of cow milk. You'll hear me wheeze across a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to stop breathing. I'm just, it's more work and it's uncomfortable. So I'm trying.
So occasionally, he'll say, "Yeah, I want that ice cream."
Yeah, especially if the ice cream question is black walnut ice cream. It's my goat. I love that stuff. Anyway, so for my counter to your, I'll wait in my line. You are the ruler of the world. Nobody would dare challenge you. If you want to go and praise them, it was made because you said it could be made, and therefore, it's mine. I can use it.
By the same token, if I were the ruler of the world, they could fucking wait.
Fair enough.
Hey, shit was happening. Missed my flight.
Would you really have that slice of humble pie, though, if you were the ruler of the world?
There's probably a reason I've never been elected president.
Yeah. Best shot I had. That was the best shot I could find in my hand.
I mean, the delight of the game is the bullshit you come up with to work with what you got.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the situation.
That mean, I'm sitting here, put this, no, that was all five. No. Okay, maybe. That's all I asked.
All right. For our final challenge to my wife, the path less traveled. In an alternate reality, children must choose one of two paths for their education at a young age. One path teaches skills that in value of...
teaches the skills and value of helping others, as well as emphasizing virtue, empathy, and other related qualities. Children who choose this educational path will be groomed to become doctors, police officers, teachers, firefighters, among many other roles in the helping professions. Although in this reality, there is very little money in these professions, those who fulfill these roles are regarded as the heroes of society. The other educational path a child may choose teaches the hard rules of business, how to step up, lead, and succeed at all costs. Children electing this path will be in business, entertainment, and athletics, among others. These careers are necessary, but the individuals who choose them are respected less than those whose careers are associated with the other path. To compensate for the fact that society does not hold them in high regard, they are paid vastly more than the other professions. When the moment comes, children must choose the path and subsequent career they will pursue for the rest of their life. And now you must make a decision for your own life, too. If given this opportunity, what would you do? Do you A, choose the noble career of a hero, or B, choose fortune over societal respect?
You mean like
the so am I the child? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go on.
No.
You have to make your choice early on.
So, because doctors like get paid a ton. Police officers and teachers and firefighters get paid nothing.
Yeah.
Well, police officers get paid respectively.
I think they do get paid better than I get paid for, you know, anybody.
Teachers get paid shit.
Yes. And often pay out of pocket for their own goddamn classroom materials, which is a crime in and of itself.
Yeah, that should be illegal to the extreme.
So and meanwhile, in this scenario, the actors and the professional athletes are not respected, despite getting a lot of money.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so what you got?
I'm going to go ahead and laugh in vet tech.
Explain that to people that don't understand you like I do.
So I work in veterinary medicine. Contrary to popular belief, we don't make a whole lot of money. The best kickback I've ever gotten from a pharmaceutical or food company was this really cool metal water container I have that has a water bowl for the dog that screws onto the bottom.
I also
got some nice plastic sunglasses one time.
So do they at least give you decent pens?
I'm almost crippled by how. Yeah.
So those are my sweet kickbacks. But
once in a while, you get some bagels and coffee brought into the clinic for your staff.
That's called Vet Tech Week. It happens once a year, yeah. And it's our Christmas.
In a while.
Yeah, like when you get donuts from the guy from the health, you know, your health service. You know, this is the healthcare we're offering this year, and I'm bringing donuts. But if you have a good, healthy lifestyle, you get a discount. Why are you getting donuts?
But anyway, so contrary to popular belief, we don't make a ton of money off of pets diagnostics and treatment. We're not paid well. So this is kind of already a situation where, you know, I do what I do for the betterment of, you know, families. And I love the animals. I love the families I work with. So I don't do it for the money.
glamorous job.
I can honestly say that loves the animals she works with to a degree that I am absolutely in awe of, to be honest. Because, yeah, I love my animals, but she loves all the animals.
You know, they don't have a voice of their own. And yeah. So, I mean, I could get off on a whole tangent about why I do what I do. But that's what I do what I do. And so I think that I would choose that first route, you know, and do what's good for society, even though it doesn't pay well.
Fair. Okay. Kat, what trickster opportunity do you have to change your mind and choose the path of filthy lucre?
I got jack and shit.
I don't want to choose just because I'm going to see what happens with it, but I have no idea how this is going to go.
I have a great one to be played last. I'm really looking forward to it. It's not going to be persuasive at all, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm going to say that I work in a meth house again.
Oh my God.
I was giving you credit and saying you own it.
rent my meth house.
I don't rent my meth house. I own my meth house.
Thank you very much.
I'm not making those mortgage payments. I'm a successful meth cook.
I'm sorry, but this is between me and the bank.
The bank is don't talk, don't tell.
All right, I'm going to do this one. This is reflecting the opposite. I don't think it's going to jack and shit, but that's what I got. Next one is creepy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Dilemma. The rest of the world perceives the decision made by the hero to be the opposite of what they actually have chosen.
I think I already get questioned and scrutinized for the decision I've made. I mean, I'm definitely projecting hard
not,
on this.
Not us. Not by us at all. No, not us.
I mean, people tend to vilify the veterinary field and say that we're money hungry. And if we really cared about the pets, we'd do everything for free.
Yeah,
but nothing for us is free. And so in order to keep our doors open to help pets, we have to charge money for things. Yeah. Like, this feels like a very basic thing to say out loud.
It's like being a chef. If a chef had all the money in the world,
Nobody would start. This is the other one I have that I was just between these two, and since this is the last round, I'm sharing it with us. In this dilemma, all the people are smiling and appear to be happy. That's just creepy.
That is kind of creepy. So, right. No, I mean, I'm already going to do what I feel is the right thing in the face of public scrutiny. So,
all right. Well, I would, okay. Being a vet tech, everything you touch is moist. So if you choose being the vet tech in this low paying altruistic world, everything you ever touch will be moist.
Such bad news for you, Quinn.
In there. Well, we're just going in that door and
then why is it? I knew we would not change your mind when I put the cards. Because it's the last round. I had to use that card.
You have no idea how many times I've gotten a phone call. Jeff, I'm coming home for lunch. I got peed on again.
Hey, Popper.
Words.
He's moist, myself included.
Church. I don't want to go to Jeff's show. That's off. All day, in the summer, in the kitchen, cooking, running down to the various dining halls.
At which point I said, they're air-conditioned. And she's like, she has a pulse.
Sweaty, I want to go home. I want to take a shower. I want to sit in my underwear in my bed and not do anything. I don't even want to think. He's like, no, let's go over to Jeff and Sheila. So I am gross. I am disgusting. Sheila in the background. Well, that's okay. I'm just going to stay in the office till I've covered an animal.
And then Kat comes to Jeff and Sheila's with me.
It's like, I have excreted him. I'm like,
I wouldn't want to be around me either.
But then she comes with Jeff and Sheila's with me. Everything's
fine. And I'm like, oh no, I still felt disgusting and gross. But at least
in company. Yes, you were in good company.
Okay, she rejected mine. Jeff, it's all you now. All
right. Hey, Jeff. For the final trickster deceit card played of the game, Sheila. Those sweet little puppies, kittens, and other various cute and fuzzy animals that you're helping with this noble career choice of yours. I've got terrible news for you. They're all terrorists.
So
if you shoot them, there will be a 9 on every 11.
Oh, God.
I have a secret for you, Jeff. They are all terrorists.
Oh, God, I'm crying. Oh, my God.
I love them all, but I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Sometimes it's better.
I love them all, but they're going to get their shots. And I'm going to get their stool sample. And I'm going to take their x-ray and draw their blood. And they're not going to like it. And I only care a little bit.
Okay, guys, we appreciate you joining us for our Halloween, holiday special with us.
Do a quick count on score here. I think
I got two. I got one.
I got two.
So Chris and Kat are tied for the win there.
Yeah.
So I'm not even on the board.
Yeah.
Meat and burn.
Sheila.
That doesn't happen very often. I'm going to have to take that back to
my channel. Oh, my gosh.
Guys, we thank you for joining us for this nearly twice as long an episode as usual with no topic other than, hey, we're going to drink and play some games. And we hope you guys enjoyed it.
Okay, guys, real quick recap. If you want to join, if you want to get in the drawing for the Flavor Bible.
And Ken Tram's The Complete Mead Maker.
We need to send you an email. Send us an email.
Info@themeadhouse.com.
Thank you, because that was actually a problem I had with talking to gentlemen. Info@themeadhouse.com with the title page saying either Flavor for the Flavor Bible or Ken for Ken Strom's The Complete Mead Maker. If you want one, you're going to have a chance at both, but once you give us two different emails.
Yeah, this we will let you enter both. Just
we will contact the winner to say, where's your address? So we can send it to you. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. We are going to send it to you completely free to you. So make sure you get those entries in. It works in it 1 week till New Year's Day. And then it's over, guys. We're going to send it out and we're going to keep doing this thing we do. I think on the January 1st is our actual my actual 52nd week.
Could well be, because I think your
first the second episode week of January.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be my 52nd week and my first year with the Meat House, which I'm actually looking forward to. And we will talk to you then. Happy meeting, guys.
Yeah.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, holidays. Everybody.